This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Dropouts and Yaysayers, the Book of Yay podcast is going to be at the NYC PodFest.
We're going to be live at the Bell House April 8th at 4:30 p.m. Build with the Hamilton podcast room where it's happening.
And we're going to be with special guest Cypher Sounds. That's right, Cypher Sounds. You might know him from Hot 97, DJ from The Chappelle Show. We'll get into all that. Make sure you guys come out.
Get your tickets at nycpodfest.com.
Yaysayers, today's show is brought to you by Casper.com. Receive $50 towards any mattress purchase at www.caspertrial.com/bookofyay. Huh? And by WarbyParker.com. Get a free 5-day home try-on at www.warbyparkertrial.com/bookofyay. 5 pairs, 5 days, 100% free. I know you like free.
I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. Be the real rock stars, and I'm the biggest of all. I just told you who I thought I was. A guy.
I'm really happy for you. I'll let you finish.
A guy. Thought I was. I am the number one.
Hey, do you have any black inside you? Would you like some? Like some? You know what you're right to. Do whatever you like to. Now see, we got the right one. The right one in the club. Always the flyest. We got our hands the highest. She stopped drinking Diet Coke. She on that Coke diet. She bet her eyelids. That girl is so wired. You know she's so tired. But ooh, she's on fire.
What's up? I'm surprised that you actually got every part of that right. You even got the
You gotta do your yay laugh sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of make or breaks the verse sometimes if you don't hit that laugh.
I feel like his laugh, the timing of his laugh, and I don't know any other rappers that just laugh in the middle of a verse as much as Yay.
Oh, not nearly as much. I know people who do it now, start sneaking a little, like a Google ad lib. And like, I think it adds personality.
He cracks himself up.
Yeah, I appreciate that. He's having fun all the time. This is a new episode of the Book of Yay podcast. I'm Chris Daniels.
I'm Rob Hayes.
We got a dope episode. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. But first, I want to introduce our guests. We're joined by a great comedian out of Philly, living in New York now, killing it. Every fucking night, it seems, on stage. We love her. We had to make sure we get that out of the way.
Tell them.
Love. My girl, Chanel Ali. What up?
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for doing it.
I feel like I saw you on Twitter this weekend, because a lot of people over the past like week or so were, I guess, dissecting like the Nicki Remy Ma situation.
Oh, yeah.
I saw you had like a nice opinion about just like female beef, because people were like being soft about it.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people saying like, well, you know, I hope I never have to tear down another black woman like this, you know? And I was like, boo. No, I'm not here for none of that. No, they're rappers.
There's a lot of fallover emotions from the Women's March. And it's like, this is a different thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when Drake was wilding, everybody was hype. Everybody was excited. This is beef. This is so fun. But now it's ladies and it's like, well, no, we don't want them to do that. I was like, let them rap.
I'm a little disappointed that it's still like men versus men, women versus women. Like, I'm such a Nicki fan. I wanted to see her jump into the Drake Meek Mill.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
But, you know, of course, that moment is passing. She's not even jumping in this beef.
And she's got no reason to. I mean, it's a if she jumps, I feel like it's lose-lose potentially. if she jumps in.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I feel like she has a shot.
She has to do is make sure that when she responds, that it's of quality and she'll be fine. Because the winner historically of every rap beef is the person with the hits.
Absolutely. And I think that Remy has a disadvantage because her rapping is a bit dated and she's really not equipped to come with something that Nicki has been working on for a while.
I mean, Remy really has a lot of pressure on her to take this moment and propel her into something. She needs to have a song this summer. If there's no Remy song that's popping this summer, then this is like null and void because Nicki's shooting videos. We see the videos are coming.
The visor shades
are coming. They're on the way. The
titty's out.
One of them. It's on the way. So, you know, Remy better get in the studio and not even focus on this battle anymore. You know, her going on Wendy Williams because there is no 106 in Park and dressing like it's a funeral. You know, that was cool. And that was also a funeral to her moment if she doesn't come out and have a banger this summer.
Why was Fat Joe there? Were they
residual income? He was there for residual income.
No, her and Fat Joe, they have a joint album.
Oh, that's right.
It's their album together. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that that's like something they're doing promo for right now, but I definitely could see on his face that he was sitting there like, just be supportive of her and Wendy and, you know, let me just keep staying here.
I mean, I feel like Fat Joe realizes now that, you know, his management of Remy Ma was kind of a failure because she never got the same rollout that a Eve, that a Nicki, that a, you know, Lil Kim. You know, like when you're in a group like that, when you're in a like Terror Squad, you know, all those people, like, you know, you got Bedrock, that was like a launching pad for Nicki. You know, you got Junior Mafia, that was like a launching pad for Lil Kim. You know, you got the Rough Riders. You know, that was like a launching pad for Eve. And I don't feel like Remy Ma got that same treatment. I feel like she was on all those songs, but it was never like, oh, we're gonna boost Remy Ma. It was like she had to do a lot of the work on her own.
That's true. I mean, I just don't know what to expect longevity from this. I feel like it's like, what would we, like a weekend? And I feel like it's slowly like, oh, this might just be like a blip. Mm-hmm. On the radar, because she came out with a second one, which just wasn't as good.
That was the first mistake. That was the Draymond punch to the nuts right there. That Nicki's down 3-1.
Yeah,
and that might have been it, because that first she came with another one, and she can't say, you know, I hit you with another one. You ain't do nothing about the other one. She can't even come with that because she came whack and Nicki was already down. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to kick somebody while they're down,
you got to stomp on the head.
Yeah. Second thing, Sheether is not an original song. It is over the Ether beat.
I mean,
so if Nicki gets with someone and makes a hit 'em up style, like back to back style, like a song that you could hear in the club that disses Remy, then It could shift because you're gonna hear it a lot more. You, if you're at a party, no one's gonna play Sheether, especially like months and months from now. You know, no one plays Ether now. No one plays, but they play Hit 'Em Up still in the club. You know.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody knows Ether though. It the reputation stands alone on its own. She might have fucked it up with this. I don't know the whole thing. The whole thing is, I just
feel like she's dated. I just feel like she's dated a little bit, and her thinking, especially when like putting out a diss track, is very like Ether generation. You know, she stuck to that script, and it came out good. We were like, oh, this is dope because you're spitting and you're talking some real shit, and you're really coming at her, and this is great. But I feel like Nicki has the ability to be like, I can also make something that's dope and relevant right now and still come at you. And I feel like Remy can't do that.
I think the part of what makes it such an uphill battle for Nicki is that, like, she's dealing with a lot of things at one time. Nicki was by herself for a moment so long that people were able, like, people, you know, she went from being the underdog to, like, people's favorites to people starting to hate her. And, like, the, you know, the amount of people who hate her for, you know, whatever reason, because of, you know, plastic surgery or because of
Meek Mill, things
that she said.
It's a long list.
Meek Mill, you know, things that she, you know, didn't do as far as Wayne being in jail or things that, you know, like.
It was all in the song.
There's a lot of stuff that people have, you know, been coming at Nicki for. You know, there's a lot of times that her fans have, you know, asked her to speak out about certain things and she has avoided that. And there's a lot of reasons why people have kind of, who were fans of Nicki and like that mixtape Nicki, that Beat Me Up Scotty Nicki, that aren't there anymore. But and also you got to think about like the whole body shaming aspect. Like there's like a whole movement now where like I feel like in the past a Nicki Remy Ma beef, Nicki's gonna make fun of the way Remy Ma is built and it's going to like work. And I feel like now that's not gonna be accepted because Remy Ma has established like my body's real and your body's not.
Mm. I don't know. People, they jump on that Barbie gang so hardcore, though. They go so hard, like, so what if my ass fake? She said it already. They be so hyped to be like, no, it's cool because she already acknowledged that. But I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that, like, that is an aspect to battles that is not, you know, that's not the norm. You know, it's like, yes, LL Cool J is built, but he never, you know, would comment on Kool Moe Dee or Cannabis Muscle. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like that is something that is specific to this like female battle.
But do you think that Nicki could come at like Remy and Papoose? You think she could find some good fire there?
She could talk about the fact that Remy kept rhyming the same word with the same word.
Oh, like ass drop. Like your ass drop.
Ass drop, ass drop, ass yeah, drop. Dumbass, dumbass, dumbass. Like, you know.
Yeah. It could be. I mean, she would have to really, like, come with her, like, monster energy. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
She would have to really yeah, be she, talking that
wake
shit.
Wake up, Roman. We don't need Nicki right now. We don't need the Barbie. We need Roman. Roman? Yeah. Because Roman would not play this.
Absolutely.
Roman
not.
Went toe to toe with Slim Shady.
Yeah.
Like, where is Roman?
You seen Split?
Hmm?
You seen Split?
I have not seen Split.
You watch Split. I don't know. It's only slightly relevant to this because of Split personality stuff. It was a good movie. I've been seeing a lot of movies lately.
Okay, so you just
going to check it out. No, we're going to check it out. I'm going to check it out.
You
didn't
say nothing about the movie. You seen Split? It's a good movie. Thanks, Chris, for your insight. I appreciate that.
What? It's a movie about split personalities, and it's an Unbreakable sequel. What do you want from me?
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. It's a Kanye shout out.
Finally, a Yang connection. Jeez. But that was a great weekend in hip hop, I think.
So yeah, speaking of old shit, or just people coming out of the woodwork, we got a surprising like beat battle from two of like the best producers from like 90s and early 2000s, and like even up to now, Swiss Beats, Just Blaze.
Do they listen to the podcast? This is crazy. Yeah. So, we came out with our podcast, and me and Mike Brown were going at it about who's better, Pharrell or Timbaland. Mm-hmm. And then
you asking the internet, and yes, the internet responding loudly.
Well, the internet on my end said it was even. Mike Brown's end, they said overwhelmingly Pharrell over Timbaland.
There could have been some collusion. We don't know. You posed it first. I'm just saying, we don't know. Maybe you seemed upset that the numbers came out wrong.
I wasn't upset. I was just more, you know, I'm fine with the fans thinking they're even. And that would, you know, make sense given how long we discussed that like me and Mike going back and forth that long, if it is even, then you know, it's one of those things. It's more of a matter of preference than who's actually better, you know. But
it was kind of odd that happened like immediately after the podcast came out.
Yeah, and then not only that, then they were asking people who should do it next, and like number one, number two trending topics was Pharrell and Timberland, which was like bugged out. But that beat battle between Swiss Beatz and Just Blaze was amazing.
It was great. 3 hours long. I feel like there was so much going on in that room. I just wanted to be in that room so bad. It was so fucking hype. It was all these legends in there. Swiss, it was like cool to see, like, because Swiss Beatz is like, you can tell he's just like a show producer. Like, he's like, he puts on, even in that small space, he just like, this is my room right now. But Just Blaze is over there kind of like working his thing. He's like, I feel like he's about to have like an asthma attack over there or something right now. Like, nobody
was moving much faster.
Nobody would give this man water. Nobody would give him a bottle.
I think Just Blaze was more about the presentation of like, this is how I made that beat. Like, I did not know Hovey Baby came from the live version of Digging on You by TLC. Like, I was like, oh my God, that is my favorite TLC video. I had no clue that that's where, like,
that came from.
Hovey Baby came from. And I used to listen to both those songs so much. And like, okay, like he showed that like Hovey Baby came from Digging on You, and then also that Oh Boy came from I'm Going Down, the Mary J. Blige version. So these songs are from like the early 2000s. He's sampling songs that are only like 5 years old and making them sound totally different. But at the same time, he did not have the variety that Swiss had. Like, I was not ready for Swiss to just be like, go about it the way he did. I thought he was gonna Rough Rider us to death, and he didn't. Swiss had stuff he left on the table. There's not a Just Blaze beat that you mess with that you didn't hear. You heard every Just Blaze beat that you liked that night. Swiss definitely had some other stuff that he could
Maybe Just Blaze thought there was a silent agreement that it was only stuff that we came out with. Maybe he got signed like...
No. Even beyond that. Because, you know, Swiss was going where Just was like, oh, okay, you got a Beyonce song? Cool. I got this Beyonce song. And I got this Beyonce song. Okay. You want to go Jay-Z songs? I got this Jay-Z song. You know, you want to go R&B? All right, I got some Ron Isley. Like, he was willing to go wherever. But I also think, like, something happened. When Busta Rhymes walked in the room, it's almost like...
Everything shifted?
Everything shifted. Like, he changed the energy of the room. Like, something happened. When Busta Rhymes walked in, that's when Just Blaze started sweating. Like, they blamed it on the weed, but I feel like there's a story there. Because I feel like Just Blaze got super, like... He was doing too much.
I'm telling you,
after Busta Rhymes,
when Busta Rhymes came in, he went to go hug him. I was like, I felt like he said some shit in his ear. He's like, "You're about to get blown out."
Yeah.
Like,
don't mess this up.
Did you check it out?
Yeah. I think Swiss Beatz is like real eclectic. I feel like back in the day, he used to do a lot of R&B, especially when he was dating or he was married to what's her name, Mashonda. Yeah, Mashonda. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Just Blaze, I always think of like. Real heavy hitting rap, definitely like all those old school beats that, you know.
Plus, like 10 years ago when he had the one man band man, like I was like, I was really like into, like I was getting made fun of for liking Money in the Bank and.
For liking it, you were getting
made fun of? Yeah. And it's me, Snitches. And yeah, like. But I don't know. I really enjoy those songs. I don't know. If you're from New York, stand up right now.
Yeah.
If you're from New York, stand up right now.
It's very
hype. Get it up. Get it up.
Very hype music. Very hype music.
Get me body. Come on.
Yeah.
I feel like the advantage was
he didn't do Welcome to the Jungle.
No, he didn't do. Did
he didn't do Famous.
All right,
he didn't do his song with Metallica. I definitely would have hit him with that song with Ja Rule and Metallica.
I don't even remember that song.
Remember, okay, remember the scene in Biker Boys where where they're about to have the like final like race or whatever?
No.
And, and Metallica's like, yeah, we did it. Or maybe, I don't know. You know what? What's great about this song, you can't tell when it's Metallica and when it's Ja Rule.
Oh, just loud singing.
Anyway, guys, Spotify, Swiss Beats first album, and you'll hear, you might have to search around, like, type in Swiss Beats Presents and you'll find.
I'm just
Swiss
gonna Beats go watch Biker Boys.
Or watch Biker Boys.
I was more of a Torque fan.
It's a classic.
So I need to see Biker Boys and Switzerland.
And Split. And Get Out.
And Get Out. Well, I saw it. So.
You've seen it. Rob hasn't seen it.
Nope. I've seen the poster. And there's a black dude on there crying. And, you know, black dudes don't cry. I was like, this is a work of fiction that I don't.
You're like, I don't even want to die. I mean, into this reality.
The only ones that cry, you know, won championships. You know, so I don't. You know, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, they LeBron cry hard James. Too. They cry hard.
The only ones that only black dudes ever cry.
We're gonna have to look fact check the whole thing.
I cried in third grade, but we won the championship. We won the 9 and under.
For what? What sport was it?
Basketball.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We're just talking about basketball ones, not general ones.
No. I mean, I was like, I can't spend my money to watch this movie when this man has tears in his eyes, and that's, you know, that's not a thing.
It's an instant classic, man. It's a masterpiece.
Yeah, you're missing out on so much fun.
I don't know. You know, I have to get past that. I have to suspend my disbelief that a black man had tears in his eyes.
Have you seen the Kanye comparisons? Those been popping up online.
Yeah, Kanye never cried.
Kanye never cried?
No.
You're confident. That's never happened.
100% confident.
Even though he often wears a mask.
That was a tour. That was a Margiela
mask.
I'm
just saying. His face was fresh. We couldn't see his face.
Didn't.
He pulled it off at near the end.
We couldn't see the whole time.
I saw no tears.
I'm just saying. You don't know.
Didn't he?
Jay-Z made the song cry because he couldn't cry.
Did he not cry in a Wolves video?
No.
What was that?
That's Glycerin.
That's
yeah. That was Balenciaga like tears. That's different.
Yeah.
That was like, you know what I'm saying? Those are designer. You could buy those.
He was really flossing. That's like,
they're like 2000.
You show it off. Like, 2000 look at these tears.
Okay, I'm at a loss now. I'm so confused now because I feel like you wanted to talk it out, and I'm trying to figure out why we had to go here.
What are the Kanye comparisons?
Yeah, though? What are the Kanye comparisons?
I think one of the most circulated is two things. One is a photo which is from the movie with the lady who would hypnotize the dude with the teacup, and that's how she would. I'm not gonna spoil it for you, but that's how.
I mean, I have the internet.
Okay,
what? I have Instagram. I've seen the photo you're describing.
Right,
yes. You can describe a photo.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
He's trying.
This movie is one frame, then we're gonna have some serious issues.
There's many
issues.
Frames.
It's mostly the guy crying a lot.
He cries a few times. I don't know if you can come to that, come to grips with that. But if you,
I
can,
mean, you know, I've seen Star Wars. You know, I've seen things that, you know, are unbelievable on screen. I've seen The Matrix. So maybe, you know, with that same kind of mindset, I can see this African-American male cry.
You want to see Lil Rel save the day?
That's kind sure. Of yeah. Yeah, sure.
He's like, I'm not sure. I don't know.
No, I would love to see Lil Rel save
the day. All right, black That's people in this movie comments. Get hypnotized and then they become white palms, I'll say that. So that's where some people make the Kanye comparisons a bit, where you seem to be down at once.
So they get hypnotized and then they design a sportswear line. they get hypnotized and then they like create some of the greatest music that anyone has ever heard. They get hypnotized and then they sign designer. Is that what you're telling me?
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is also like part of designer podcast.
It should be.
He's a man.
I don't get the comparisons. People just, you know, people always want to rope Ye in, and you know, when Ye said he's one of the most culturally important figures, this is what he was talking about. Exactly this.
That he became a spoof of a Jordan Peele movie.
No, the just that,
that people are always
no matter
about
what
him.
It is, people are gonna figure out a way to rope Ye in. He's one of those guys. There's not that many of those guys. It's whoever's the president, used to be Michael Jackson. Ye.
What?
Michael Jordan. He's one of those type of guys.
Yeah.
Where people feel like, you know, like if there's a way to rope him in here, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
That's fair. But I can also say that seeing the movie, I could see somebody seeing like this one black guy surrounded by all these white people in a fancy house and they're asking him questions about his muscles and things and like his talents. I could see somebody being like, oh, yeah, it's like Kanye and, you know, the Jenners.
But I mean, why can't the man just be in love? I don't understand. Why can't he just be with his family? Like, why does he gotta be like this whole plot and like white people are against him and blah, 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 blah. Like, why can't it just be, you know?
It's a movie, right?
Yeah.
It's not real.
Obviously it's not an exact comparison, but.
I'm just tired of people like taking our icons and feeling like they could just, you know, like do this all the time, you know? Like Michael Jordan said, the ceiling's the roof. He's jumped higher than you have ever jumped. You don't know what the ceiling looks like from Michael Jordan's angle.
This ceiling might be the roof.
This
is a stretch.
Have you ever jumped from the free throw line?
No, but
no.
It's not.
So you don't know that the ceiling could be the roof.
So he's got knowledge we don't have.
He has knowledge we don't have. The ceiling might be the roof.
What's the floor?
What?
What's the floor?
Michael Jordan don't need floors.
This is all face.
Air Jordan walks on air.
Go see Get Out, man. It's a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah, go see it. It's fun.
Oh, man. That was too much just so you could defend Kanye from internet trolls, man.
What you mean?
Yeah, are you just not having it? Just like across the board, like we can't criticize.
You can criticize whoever
Kanye
you want to,
or his lifestyle.
You can criticize whoever you want to.
But I'm saying, are you not having it though? Like when you sit at home. I'm not saying right now. When you sit
oh,
at
you
home,
you really don't listen to the podcast.
No, I do. I'm saying when you sit at home and you're like reading comments and people are coming at Kanye, you're like, no. I'm not here for any of this.
I mean, most of the time it's not based in fact. It's not based in reality. You know what I'm saying? Yeezy jumped over Jumpman. So who knows what kind of roofs and ceilings.
Okay, that answered my question.
We did get one Kanye product this week, though. He dropped on SoundCloud that great transition, Chris. I know, right?
No. I'm laughing at what you're talking about.
From Yeezy Season 5, that bed, the dream version of bed, it was like 17 minutes long. He dropped that on SoundCloud. Was that him or is that, that's Kanye dropped it? It's not like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was Kanye's page or his page that he runs, that he puts music up. And I love it when rappers are using SoundCloud again. I love that.
Yeah, it is dope.
I'm a big SoundCloud fan. A lot of free music.
Experience music. Yeah,
you can find a lot of exclusive stuff. I felt like I found a lot of artists before they
are we
release
sponsored
music.
By SoundCloud now. What's happening?
The podcast is on SoundCloud. Some people listen.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
What'd you think of it?
I mean, you know, I'm not really in the space right now to need a 17 minute version of bed.
Did you finish it?
That's a weird question. I listened to a lot waiting on like a verse to pop in because I was like, and then I was like, oh, this is just from the fashion show. But it was cool. It was cool the way he did it. I was real confused because I feel like who made Bet? Jay Holiday?
Originally, but I think the Dream
he
recorded.
He ain't doing nothing right now.
Yeah.
He could have called up Jay. Yeah. 17 minutes, you don't got no time for Jay. Because Jay got time. I bet you, you know what I'm saying? I understand the Dream sounds really cool, and maybe it should have been a Dream song because it sounds like, I don't know, I kind of like the Dream's version better, but I'm just like, you know, Jay's at the house like, well, you know, I can't get no money off SoundCloud. Yeah. Like, y'all could have really put this on iTunes and helped me out.
Or maybe even gave him, like, you know, a minute of the 17 minutes.
Or a shout out, you know. Shout out to Jay Holiday.
Was it originally his song, though? I thought it was, like, did Dream write the song? Was there anything?
Dream probably wrote the song.
And then the song was great, and he was like, this is now mine's again.
I think he even like wrote it for Chris Brown, and he originally like recorded that like ghost track for Chris Brown to use. And then Kanye heard that and was
he heard the reference track and made that into that's
he was
cool.
Like, I like this. This is, I want people to walk around in fashion.
What if Kanye's been using this? Like, what if this is like his bone down music that he like gave to us? Like, he's like, no one has this. This is an exclusive. And he plays it, and it's just like 17 minutes of like, I'm going to put you to bed. And then, you know, stuff pops off.
That's some new age stuff.
I guess so. I have no idea what's happening right now.
What do you mean? That was just a question.
I don't know. It feels weird.
Why is it? Well, it's always going to feel weird when you're talking about bed. By Jay Holiday or The American Dream. Hey, but I don't know. What do you want?
I don't want anything, man.
Like, how did it make you feel when you were listening to it? Like, did you just scan
through?
I tried
to put myself in the space. I tried to make myself feel like I was at the fashion show. I put on my biggest hoodie. I walked around my room.
See, it instantly took me back to like 2007, 2008. Then I started Snapchatting people.
What kind of Snapchats are we talking?
Man, you know, you could put bitmojis with other people's bitmojis and have a little cartoon party.
What? How's that? That's a weird discovery.
Hey, man. Hey.
You download their bitmoji and you put up yours.
No. Snapchat knows that your friend's bitmoji exists and they know your bitmoji exists. And then they, like, when you look through it, there's stuff that they can do together.
And you made a cartoon along with the song Bed.
No. No one knows until right now that Bed was playing while I was discovering this Bitmoji thing. You asked what I was doing. You didn't ask if it was related.
Whoa. I can't bring up Split in an unrelated fashion, but you go bring up Bitmoji cartoon parties.
You brought up Split and didn't explain it. You was just like, have you seen Split? Nope. Okay.
All right. We're going to take a quick break.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. You tired? You sleeping on the floor? You don't have a ride to get to somewhere to get a mattress? Don't worry. Because Casper has something for you. For the listeners of the Bookie A podcast, Casper is offering $50 towards any mattress purchase at Casper.com. Casper has developed an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. They are the Steve Jobs. They are the Walt Disney. They are the Michelangelo of making mattresses. Just the right sink. Just the right bounce. Two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, come together for a life well slept. It's a risk-free trial with a return policy. Try sleeping on a Casper for 100 days with free shipping and painless returns. The Casper is now the most awarded mattress of the decade. Kanye has 21 Grammys. If you like awards, if you like the Grammy family, there's one mattress you can sleep on, and that's the Casper mattress. To receive $50 towards any mattress purchase, go to CasperTrial.com/Book of Yay. Again, that's CasperTrial.com/Book of Yay for $50 towards any mattress purchase. Huh? Yaysayers, Warby Parker is offering a free 5-day home try-on to give you the opportunity to check out their glasses. Glasses should not cost as much as a pair of Yeezys. Prescription glasses start at $95, including prescription lenses. Warby Parker makes buying glasses online easy and risk-free. Their home try-on program allows customers to order 5 pairs of glasses to be shipped directly to them, where they can try them on in the comfort of their own home, in front of their own mirror, and get feedback from friends and family and colleagues. Users can keep frames for 5 days before sending them back, using the prepaid return shipping label with no obligation to purchase. They offer non-prescription polarized sunglasses for $95 and prescription polarized sunglasses for $150. To get your home try-on today, go to warbyparkertrial.com/bookofyay. Again, that's warbyparkertrial.com/bookofyay for your free 5-day home try-on. Chanel, when is the first time you heard of Kanye West?
Oh, man, I don't know, but I think it was probably hearing that he was producing for Jay-Z. I don't remember what song, but I remember seeing some, like, behind-the-scenes something on VH1, like a clip of Jay-Z being backstage or in the studio with Kanye, and he had a bunch of producers he was working with, and Kanye played a couple beats, and I was like, wow, that guy is really dope. And then later on, I was like, oh, Jay-Z picked up almost all those beats that he played that day. And I remember Timbaland was there that day playing a bunch of beats. I feel like Jay-Z picked up a couple of them, and then he played some beats that were Brandy beats, and I remember feeling really dope because nobody else knew that they were Brandy beats but me, because people didn't know.
In the room?
I'm saying, like, when I was watching it, like, with my friends, they were like, we don't know this beat. Who got this beat? I was like, what's a Brandy beat? But yeah, I definitely remember hearing about him as a producer first, and then probably didn't really see him spit until Through the Wire. Probably until I saw the music video for Through the Wire. And I remember, like, standing up and walking towards my TV and having that feeling like, oh, well, whoever this is, he's next. You know, he's got it. He got it. Like, this is, we're going to remember this guy forever as changing rap after this.
When did you make that connection that was the same dude?
Probably towards the end of the video when I realized that he had sampled through the fire. Then I had the connection of, oh, I remember this is that producer that had really dope samples and was flipping all those beats for Jay-Z. And then I was like, oh, the Chicago dude, word. But I definitely remember feeling like, oh, he's about to beat like this. I remember being so blown away by the video, by the emotion behind it, of him like even trying to spit literally through his face being all messed up. And I just remember feeling real inspired, like, wow, we're watching something that's about to be something.
There's that scene in Through the Wire where they, there's a couple things. He says he's Mr. H to the Izzo. And then on the clip, like the bulletin board, there's a picture of him. And it's from the H to the Izzo video. And then there's like a part of that Source article when Blueprint got 5 mics that says, you know, 6 songs produced by Kanye West.
And he like chains him in the video, doesn't he? Like brings him out. And then
the chaining day is like a whole scene in the video.
And I remember that playing a part too, and me being excited, like, oh wow, now he's like officially a part of the team. Like he's signed to, you know, like, wow, he's really gonna be like down with Jay-Z, and like it's not gonna be like, oh, this is just some young kid producing tracks for me. And I let him hang around sometimes, maybe be in the video, let him spit a little in the background or something like that. I was like, wow, he's really like, he's about to do it, you know?
It was something about that cosign of him being like a other, but like getting the love of this like gangster label. You know, like everyone else is guns. Everyone else is like, you know,
durag.
Drugs. Yeah, durag. And then this guy, like, he's down with them because he made the beats that made you be like, you know, like if you were on the fence, if you were one of those people like, you know, I don't condone all the violence, but, you know, when I hear that soul music, I'm like, Beanie Single, you know, like all right, I'll listen to what he has to say. And he's the reason that you're like, you know, that there's probably so many more people that would listen to Rockefeller than if they didn't have that. Him and Justin Blaze.
Absolutely. Especially because I grew up, I played the violin growing up. So I was always really big on like orchestration, big string productions. And I definitely remember being like, this Kanye guy, I don't know where he's pulling these strings from, but they don't sound as automated as I've been used to hearing. And it doesn't sound like he's, you know, buying out an orchestra. I was like, whatever, whoever he knows. And then I remember, you know, obviously he knew all the greatest violinists because he had them in the video, even for Slow Jam. Yes. So I was like, wow, I remember being super attracted to his beat making and the strings especially.
So what was it, knowing all that, what was it about Late? Because you chose Late,
yeah,
the last song of Late Registration.
That's yeah. when you could get an orchestra.
Yeah.
John exactly. Bryan.
Very good strings, absolutely. And I just like that it was like the bonus track. I like that I felt like I discovered it kind of accidentally, just letting Late Registration play out, especially because I bought probably 3 physical copies of that album.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I remember I bought one for me, like to have in my house. I had bought one for my car, and I remember I bought one for my little brother. And then when I felt like he wasn't really playing it like he should, I took it back. I was like, I just need 2. Now I just have 2 copies, so you don't need all these. So
you had a car?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's what's up. You know? Back then, if you had a car, you was the Chi-Town version of baby.
And Drive Slow obviously was dope because I lived in Cali at the time. And
oh, okay.
It was that Cali
vibe. That's why you had a car.
Yeah, all absolutely.
Right. I was like, you was in Philly with a car.
Oh, no. Yeah, I went to high school in Cali. So I got my license at like a little after 15 because they just changed the rule maybe right after I got it that you had to wait till 16. So I was driving early. But yeah, I love the Late Registration album. I loved the strings on Late. And I liked the mentality of like, yeah, I see what you're talking about. I hear what y'all saying. I'm going to be late for that. I'm going to be late for all that shit y'all talking about. Oh, we got to do this. This is how life's supposed to be. I'm going to pick these majors and then pick these classes. And now you're saying I can't because I'm late. And I, you know, like, I just love the whole aspect of him being like, I'm doing things my own way. I'm going to come in on this beat when I'm ready. You know, it was just the whole mentality of just, it really encompassed what I felt like the entire album felt like. And I just loved it. I thought it was just the perfect way to end that album.
This is the best skipping school song.
Yes. Yeah.
Or like late song. Because I remember I had a teacher and she didn't grade anything but tests. She didn't grade homework. She didn't grade like class assignments. Like the class was all tests. And I was like, well, I'm not coming. And I remember like pulling up to school and be like, 10 o'clock, well, like walking to school because I missed the bus. But walking to school and be like 10 o'clock and I'd be like listening to my iPod, which I wasn't supposed to bring to school, but I did anyway.
Yeah, we had to listen. We needed to hear music.
Mm-hmm.
This came out when I was in high school, but even I swear to God, like listening to this in college, the first verse is just way too real of the process of like how frustrating fucking like going to college is just like from day one. We're just like, yeah, I'm here, but I don't really want to be here. What do I got to do? Oh, I got to pick classes right now. All right. Oh, this is like I'm wait till the fucking last day and I get there. I'm like, what the fuck is left? I got no classes I want to take left. I'm in classes now with the same motherfuckers who was like the dumbest motherfuckers from high school.
And we're all trying to achieve the same goal.
And I'm in like, how much debt now? Well, great.
And I can't tell you how many times in college I remember like the first day of the semester starting and I haven't registered yet because all my financial aid hasn't been paid up or something like that. I can't tell you how many times that happened that I was like, man, I might just have to take time off school because I can't work this system and figure out how to get this stuff done.
I knew all the women in the financial aid office.
I bet you did.
By name. I was there fucking like every day because everything about school was frustrating me.
Not knowing, like not like listening to this before I went to college did not give me an optimistic idea of what college was, because I was like, dang, you know, I don't want to be in basket weaving. I don't even have baskets.
This is not interesting to me. Yeah. These are not life skills. What am I going to do with these?
This is an insult.
Wait, so if I'm late,
and imagine how brave he was to be so young and to have like the whole world and your mama telling you, you need to get your life together. You got to pick a major and get done with school. Like, you don't want to end up 30 and you don't have nothing to show for it. And he still was like, no, I'm doing this my own way still. Mm-hmm. Like, I still am not doing, I'm going to be late for all that stuff y'all talking about.
That's why it's so real. It was so real. Everything it was missing directly correlates to how I felt like being in school, except he didn't have like his stepdad actually like step on a track and be like, you should try like IT. Why don't you try IT? That's the only thing that was missing for me. That's the exact experience.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines of all time is in this song. What would you do for Klondike? Yeah. Or two dykes that look Christina Milian like, I'll be on time for that.
I was looking at the lyrics. I thought of no line
that come around with that.
I was looking at the lyrics. I'll be there in 5 minutes. And the whole time I was like, Rob is going to eat up this line.
I love it because the flow is so like, what?
Yeah.
At first, and then like after a while, it was like the flow was late. You know, it was like, I'll be there in 5 minutes. 5 hours later, I'll be there in five minutes. Go ahead, ride with it.
Yeah.
It's like, man.
Do you feel like, because I'm not even sure if there's a whole meaning for like this being like the bonus or hidden track as is listed.
Oh, some people didn't hear it.
They just never
some people missed it.
It's a long period of silence before it plays on the CD, from what I remember.
It's not like Watch the Throne long, but it's long. Because I know there was a concert. Maybe it's late orchestration when he performs it. And people are like, some people looking like, what is this? And other people going crazy. And he's like, oh, y'all got to listen to the whole CD.
Yeah.
And then I think Tyler made him perform this at Camp Flognaw like 5 years ago, and he did not remember the words. And like Tyler was like,
Kanye didn't remember the words?
No, Kanye did not remember the words. And like Tyler was like,
he was late for the performance. Kind
of disappointed, yeah, because he was, I'm in the shop class in the basket weaving with all the underachieving. This is an insult. I went to junior high with all of them, and they pin slow. Wolfgang.
That was a great Tyler. Is that bad?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I appreciate it.
You seen ASAP's?
Huh?
ASAP's got a good one. You're up there.
Oh, yeah. I seen ASAP's. I was doing Tyler before I seen that, though. All
right. I'm not trying to make competition, man.
His birthday was the other day. Yesterday happened. Well, you know, y'all hear this tomorrow. 2 days ago.
2 days ago. Shout out to
Till Infinity.
Shout out to Monique. I just got to get one in. And you say nothing else. Nothing else.
Monique is Chris's mom.
Oh, hey, yeah. Monique.
And Rob tried to make a move last time. I had to shut it down.
I could see Rob doing that.
I almost wrote a letter.
Dang. You think I'm a savage like that? That's messed up.
No.
I would have wrote my own letter. I would have been pissed off. Nobody will get that reference.
I know. It's a shame. It's a shame.
What'd you think of the samples in this song? I mean, it's one main sample.
And it's on Kanye's Soul Mix Show. But it's sped up on Kanye's Soul Mix Show. Uh-huh. So, he does like play it, and it's like, it's cool because you hear that the song doesn't say I'll be late for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you swear it does.
Yes.
Like, every time you hear it, you swear it does. And yes. It says,
it's like the melody makes your brain write the words in your head.
Yeah. And he does that a lot.
Yeah.
He does that a lot. There will be a lot of times where he'll be like, oh, when I do it, it's gonna sound like this. And it's like, how does he know that?
It's really like, it's an incredible sample, an incredible, I guess he flipped it. But it's pretty incredible because it takes on the same emotion of that song, mm-hmm. like that freedom of the song, but then he flips it and brings it to this mentality that he's talking about, like, I'll be late for these things. So it's the same kind of release, because in the song they're like, I'll erase away, and I feel like it's much more like the original song is like much more like emotional and we're gonna be free from all these worries, and then he's like, I'll be late for that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, the original goes, little girl, please stop your crying. I'll erase away your pain. And he turned into, little girl, please stop your crying, because I'll be late for that.
So fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm just trying to play it back in my head, and I'm still not convinced myself that it is, that some of those words aren't said in the song.
It's not, though.
I know it's not, but I'm just like, it's trippy, dude. It's like
the melody is that strong.
It's like that whole like Sinbad never played a genie thing. You remember that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
People were really looking that up. Like, no, I remember seeing that. That's a thing.
But see, I can't mess with that theory because it's called the Mandela effect. Because these idiots was walking around thinking Mandela already died when he died in 2013. That's why it's called the Mandela effect.
Absolutely. The internet will do it every time.
And it's like, come on, man. I don't know a black person who thought Mandela was dead when he died. We knew he was still alive. You know what I'm saying? The whole point was he got old. You know what I'm saying? The whole point was he got out of jail. Name somebody else that was in jail with him that did what he did.
I'm so confused. I never even heard of this Mandela effect before. This is a new
look it up.
I don't know anybody that was in jail.
Like, exactly.
Like, I don't know anybody else that even got a conviction like that. You think
they locked Mandela up by himself? No, but he's the one that made it out.
I mean, isn't he also the one who became the leader of the country?
Yeah, he was leader. He
did other stuff.
But I'm saying, he became the leader. That's part of it. That's part of why you should know he was still alive is because he became the president of South Africa.
You talking about idiots, though.
Yeah, but those idiots named the theory. So now anything that falls under the Mandela theory, I can't trust because it's all under this umbrella of something that I find ridiculous.
I'm glad that's the difference. You said like between it, because you said you didn't know any black people who thought Mandela was dead before he died, which means that we're thinking of mainly just white people and others. Like they think, oh, I thought Mandela was dead, whereas we think Sinbad was definitely in a genie movie.
No, I'm saying if you go to a black high school, middle school, elementary school, you're going to see pictures of Nelson Mandela in color waving at a crowd of people. Ask your teacher, who is that? And she'll be like, that's Nelson Mandela. He's the president of South Africa. And so that's why I'm saying I know that like there are people that are our age who knew that he was still alive.
Or should have known. Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know what I'm saying? Maybe Ben Carson was in shock.
No.
See, there's so many good Ben Carson jokes that you're going to miss out on because you didn't see Get Out.
True.
So many.
True. Some of the best.
I had to fight my thumbs today on Twitter like, don't you tweet that joke. You wait.
What are you waiting for?
I mean, Ben Carson might have cried. You know what? I'll give it to y'all. He might have cried.
He could be one of those.
Yeah, he might have cried. But that's it. LeBron, Kobe, Jordan, Ben Carson.
Don't piss him off. There are no parallels. Oh, man. Fuck Ben Carson. Used to be a hero.
Have you seen the late orchestration movie?
No.
You have not?
I have not.
You just said the word orchestration.
Well, I play the whole, I'm a violinist.
Pure violinist.
I'm a violinist. I've been playing since I was 10.
You got to see it. It was made between Late Registration and Graduation. So it's only songs from the first two albums. But it's in London and it's him.
Oh, wait. I think I might have. Is it Crazy Lighting?
Yeah.
I think I might have. Was it like an MTV thing that they put out?
It wasn't. It might have came on MTV. It originally was like its own thing, but I think it came on MTV or MTV2 eventually.
He's always been heavy strings. And I mean, I made beats for a little bit. I have a SoundCloud page that has beats that are still up there.
Are you willing to put out your SoundCloud username to the world?
Chanelle Bell.
Okay.
All one word, N-E-L-L-Y-B-E-L-L, Chanelle Bell. Yeah, I made beats. I started making beats with like GarageBand in the beginning, and then okay. I learned, somebody taught me how to use an MPC, and after that
somebody had an Apple. A car and an Apple.
I was doing well.
You, this? You know what
I
saying?
Was doing well, you know.
Okay.
But then somebody taught me how to use an MPC, and after that I was like, I will sample everything I've ever heard ever.
Ooh.
I was like, this is my life, you know. So I met a ton of producers back in the day, especially in Philly, who were always trying to get me to play violin because they know that, you know, orchestration doesn't sound the same if you pull it off a GarageBand or off mm-hmm. any program mm-hmm. because it's such a thing that like needs to be live. It's got to be really organic. So that's
unless
definitely
Teddy Riley does it. I swear that man could play the saxophone on a keyboard. I swear.
Yeah, I know some producers that have fooled me before. Like they played something, I've been like, "What's that? A sample of whatever?" They're like, "Well, no, I just made that." So that's something that definitely attracted me to Kanye as a beat maker was the orchestration, and I really can't wait to watch that.
Dope. What's your favorite Kanye song? Least favorite Kanye song?
Okay, can I start with my least favorite?
Sure.
Is it called? See, I'm not very good with titles. It's that one where he's like, drunken like a...
God damn it!
Yeah, I was like, this is going to be a thing. Yeah, come on.
Oh,
that's,
man.
That song is just...
What is... No.
And the graduation... Yeah. Okay, listen.
A lot of people hate on
I'm
drunk
sure.
And
I'm sure they do. As
that's
I was
the
thinking
majority
it,
of the podcast.
I was like, I'm sure, because when you think about like late registration and how I had that whole like, I don't care about college and blah, blah, blah. I remember when graduation came out, I was like, well, this is really like... light and kind of, you know, positive still, and it's like he's moving on to the next phase. And I was like, I don't know what this bullshit is over here though, this mm-hmm. drunken white girls, because first it's just, you know, I just
that's
don't like
beginning.
It
that's the you beginning know? The 808s, that's the beginning of Kanye singing.
I understand
right
it was a stepping stone to something better.
Yeah,
but it that to me has always felt like a throwaway. I was like, we don't need this track, we don't, I don't need this, I don't need this in my life. Come on, that's when you play that.
She
when
had
people...
a car and she never hit the drive-thru, Rob.
Right? She had a car.
I just like, we gotta do this every episode.
Yeah,
every episode. You know, we had a long, like maybe 8 month run when no one brought up drunken hot girls, and nope. Then it's been
consistent
ham ever since. Yeah.
Consistent. I mean, y'all know that song is whatever. But
we
I
get
think...
a lot stronger. A lot we get.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like Stronger.
Stronger, really?
Yeah, very surprising.
I remember being so hype about that when it came out. Yeah, I remember being super hype. I mean, Daft Punk, you know? But, yeah, I think my favorite song is probably Blame Game. Probably. And I say it's my favorite song, not because I think it's the best song or the best Kanye song, but I think it's my favorite because it's something I'm always in the mood to hear. And no matter where I'm at, I'm going to sing it. And I'm going to do all of the ad-libs, and I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to do all those ad-libs.
That's a first.
Yeah, that's a first. Yeah. Shout out to John Legend, Chris Rock.
Yeah. Can't believe you got me this watch. Come on. Come on. I'm going to do it every time.
With the bezel.
I seen this in the source. Yes. Come on. It's just I can't, like, I never ever get tired of hearing that song. And in its entirety, it's long as hell. It's long as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you stay through the whole
I'm sitting in it. And if somebody turns it off, I'm flipping tables, cuz we're going to start it over.
Yeah, no,
bring
no
it back.
Skips in the beautiful dark twisted fantasy.
But I'm saying, she says she does like all the ad-libs, everything. That's what I'm
yeah.
saying.
Yeah.
Yeezy taught me. Yeah. I'm doing them all.
Drunk Got Her Girls is not that bad. That's all I was
now you was against it when your homegirl was in here, but now...
I wasn't against it. I was just saying, context wise. Look, man, I understand it's not the best song.
Come on,
but come when on it's now. Been, I feel like it's like piling on at a certain point. I feel like I'm in a JaVale McGee situation where, look, yes, it does. Stumble. It's a little awkward at times, and it's a little embarrassing. But at this point, I just need somebody to like get Shaq's mom on the phone and just tell her like, please lay off drunken hot girls. That's all I want.
Remember when he's like,
he's Chris and a fool. He's Chris and a fool. He plays both sides.
It just felt like a throwaway to me. I was like, I don't need this. We don't need this in here.
I mean, no, I don't have a problem. It's not my least favorite song on Graduation. I'm not a big Graduation guy.
I know so many people that say that. So many people that were not down for... Even the song where he was like, Common Pass on the beat, so I made it into a jam. Everybody was like, you should have also passed on that beat. Oh, I know many people that said that. I was like, y'all wildin'.
Nah, I love taking shots at Will.i.am. And we'll do that anytime possible. You know, I would never wear a mink coat in the summertime like Will.i.am.
Yeah.
Wait, no, mink boots in the summertime like Will.i.am. I never wear a pink coat in the wintertime like Killer Cam.
Yeah.
Or wear some mink boots in the summertime like Will.i.am. Shots fired.
Will.i.am might be the only enemy of the podcast at this point.
Will.i.am, Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah. That goes without saying. George Bush might be... He's redoing his image.
He's painting now. I don't know. What?
Come on. But you know Kanye has not switched how he feels about George Bush.
Switched on Donald. That's all I'm saying.
Did he switch?
Yeah, he switched.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he switched.
Tweets have been deleted.
Oh, right. You're right. Well, I would like to give credit to the Kardashians. Are you okay? Are you happy with that? Is that better, Rob?
Do what you gotta do. Do whatever you gotta do.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy.
Wait, why are you giving credit to them, though?
Because I would like to believe that someone talked some sense into him, especially in regards to being okay with pretty much anything that Trump has done.
I mean, he could have just read the news.
I don't know. The news was out for a while, it seemed like.
I mean, but there was no travel ban when he took the photo.
I always think that Kanye was misunderstood, and
he was just trying to start a dialogue.
Not only was he trying to start a dialogue, but if you look at what he said originally, he was talking about the specific aspect of Trump that he was a fan of. And because people are so polar, because people are so like, either you're with us or you're against us, then people wouldn't even hear out what the original statement was. The original statement was it was never Trump in its entirety. It was never like I condone everything.
I mean, he started out by saying he didn't vote anyway.
Yes, which shows that he was like, I'm not going to endorse this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, this is something that interests me. This is something that I was thinking about.
I hope he's feeling better about it.
I hope he watched Get Out.
I hope he watched Biker Boys.
And, of course, Lego Batman. Because that shit was awesome.
Yeah, Lego Batman.
Lego Batman,
still,
of course.
Still great. Still movie of the year. Still like the Moonlight of 2017.
Wow, that's hefty.
And also, yo, shout out to Nicki Minaj, man. You know, like, I'm still going to be a Harajuku G.I. Joe. I know she's going through it right now. You know what I'm saying? The Barb's.
She's upset. Fine.
But hey, man.
She's fine.
Hey, man, I'm a true fan. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going I've said on the podcast already, I was a Nicki Minaj fan. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to just back, you know, and start. Even though I had, you know, like my hood crushes have shifted through time. There was a time where Remy Ma was, you know what I'm saying? She was cool.
Aww.
But, you know, Nicki, dog.
Well, Rob, I'll let you finish whatever thought this is later. Chanel, thank you for coming on the podcast. It was fucking awesome. Where can people find you online and everything?
I'm on Twitter, Chanel_Ali. I also have a website, ChanelAli.com. Check me out.
Dope. Check her out. She is a fantastic comedian.
And thank you guys for having me. I like talking about music with y'all.
Rob has something to say.
Yeah, if you in Phoenix, Arizona, March 8th through the 11th, come see me at the House of Comedy. If you are in Charlotte, North Carolina, see me at the Comedy Zone on March 29th. If you're in D.C., come see me on March 30th. Also, April 8th, we got the NYC Pod Fest. Come check us out.
Check us out. We'll be paired with the room where it's happening, the Hamilton podcast, and we're going to be doing our own, our first live show in NYC with the guest we just announced today, Cypher Sounds. Check it out. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.